Good morning, everybody, and thank you again for coming to learn together. It's always a pleasure to join you on these Friday morning shiurim. So today we're going to do what we always do and just raise a couple of shilas that came up over the course of the past week, and you'll vote which one you prefer that I speak about. So I got a shila from a rabbi in Texas, not in Dallas, in Houston, who told me that he's involved in kashrus. He's a fine Talmud Chacham, and I think he's involved in the Hashkacha in Houston, Texas. And it's a rapidly growing community over there in Houston. There are a lot of from people that are moving in and buying homes. And he said that there was a restaurant that uses a sous vide to cook steaks until they are rare, so until they are edible, so that they're then able to grill them much faster when the customer comes in. I mean, a customer comes in and they want a steak, so they don't want to have to start from scratch and have the steak go from raw to cook. That will take too long. They're trying to move things along quicker, so they put it in a sous vide in order to get it to a point where it's edible. And then after they get it to the point that it's edible, when the customer orders it, they'll throw it on the grill. Here's the problem: they have a customer who is a Svartic customer. Nothing wrong with that, but the Svartic customer insists that there be Bishul Beit Yosef, that we have different rules of Bishul Akum when it comes to a Jew, when it comes to a Svarti, and when it comes to an Ashkenazi. For Ashkenazim, we know, in order to avoid Bishul Akum, the Jewish person just has to do something, just has to do anything as far as the cooking is concerned. But for a Svarti, the Jew has to put the food on the fire. So here's how it works in this restaurant. The Mashkiach had turned on the sous vide, but the chef put the meat into the sous vide. Now a customer came and requested Bishul Beit Yosef. So the Mashkiach asked, would it qualify as Bishul Beit Yosef if the Mashkiach would put the rare steak on the grill? Because the Mashkiach doing that, would that be enough? If I could just ask everyone to mute themselves, someone just joins, is not muted. So that was the that was Shaila number one. Shaila number two. A very dear friend of mine, Rabbi Shai Schechter, happens to serve as a camp rabbi in Camp Simcha, which, for those who are not familiar, is a camp for children with severe illnesses, with cancer and other illnesses. And if you've ever been to Simcha, I've had the privilege to visit on occasion. It is just like a wild place. It is unbelievable. There is so much joy in the air. It is like Disney World calls themselves the happiest place on earth. That's not true. It's Camp Simcha that's the happiest place on earth. People are walking around in costumes all day, and it's just an unbelievable place. So Rabbi Schechter wrote to a group of us the following shaila. He writes, "We are in Camp Simcha, and we just got a question that surprisingly has never been considered here. The girls dress up." He's the camp rabbi during the girls' session. They have a separate session for girls and for boys. "The girls dress up to greet the campers when they arrive. It certainly adds to the whole excitement for the kids and helps create a relaxed atmosphere, which the kids so desperately need. They asked whether they're allowed to daven with their costumes on. The girls won't go back after davening to their bunks and change. It just won't happen. So they want to know if they can get dressed in the morning and they can daven in their dress-up clothing. When looking at what the poskim write regarding davening on Purim with a costume, it seemed to me that if it's a silly costume, it wouldn't be proper to do so. Can we say that in this case, it's all a dvar mitzvah and would be allowed? The girls literally look ridiculous, and in any other context would be making fools of themselves, but they do this for the sake of the kids and their emotional well-being. So are they allowed to daven dressed in these clown costumes and Mickey Mouse ears and everything else?" So that is shaila number two. So shaila number one, a Bishul Akum question when it comes to a Svarti eating at an Ashkenazi restaurant with the unique element of the sous vide. Shaila number two, when it comes to davening dressed up in costumes as they do in Camp Simcha, so is there a problem? And this is something that would not just be on the first day, it would probably come up each and every day, pretty much, because they're always dressed up, in funny ways. So everyone is welcome to use the chat feature to vote. I see we have a lot of votes coming in, so let's see. 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1. Okay, so far 6-5 vote in favor of 2. Ooh, 6-6. I think we're tied now. Anyone want to be a deciding vote here? 1. Someone sent directly 2. Oh boy. Okay, we're still tied up. Oh boy, I don't know what to do now. 2. Okay, all right, so Ramon would want to. Okay, thank you. So we are at, so it looks like a very close vote, a 7-6 vote. So I guess some other time I'll have to do the other Shaila because, so I guess we'll start with Shaila number 2. And maybe if there's time, we'll touch on Shaila number 1 also at the end. So let's start with Shaila number 2, with the clown clothing for davening, or the costumes for davening. So how to dress for davening is certainly something that is a significant halacha, meaning it is not something that we should ignore. Certainly as far as our attitude toward davening, there's no doubt that one is supposed to view themselves as if we are Omeid Lufnei HaMelech, as if we are standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chaim famously comments that that is true when it comes to our Kavanah for Tefillah. Rav Chaim famously comments that in the Chidush HaGrach al Rambam, that there are two types of Kavanah in davening, that there's Kavanah for what the words mean, and that you're beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these specific things that you are saying. But then there is a more fundamental kavana of davening, and that is that you're Omei Lufnei HaMelech. And without the kavana of being Omei Lufnei HaMelech, it's not even called a tefillah. It's the very definition of tefillah is that one sees themselves as if they are Omei Lufnei HaMelech. It stands to reason that the same is true not only as far as your kavana is concerned, but as far as your hanhaga is concerned during davening as well. And that includes how one dresses for davening, that one should get dressed as if he is Omei Lufnei HaMelech. And certainly one would not be Omei Lufnei HaMelech in a clown costume unless the melech happened to have attended the circus. But if you're going to beseech the Melech, l'chora, under normal circumstances, it would be entirely inappropriate to be in such a costume. Now, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, not surprisingly, and Brachos Dav Lamed, that Rabbi Yehuda would dress very nicely, specifically for davening. He would go out of his way to put on nicer clothing for davening. However, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos and Dav Yud adds a little more nuance to that, that it's not so pashut that the correct thing to do is always to dress up nicely for davening. The Gemara says that there were actually 3 different hanhagos, 3 different practices among the Amoraim as far as how to dress for davening. Some would always dress nicely as a fulfillment of Hikol Nikros Elokecha Yisrael, which is what Rabbi Yehuda did, to always dress up nicely. But then there was a second group of Amoraim that would specifically not dress nicely, because after all, we are ke'eved kame mare. We're like an eved in front of our master, and who are we to dress up in fancy clothing? We should be very humbled in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then there's a third hanhaga, that it would depend on what's going on in the world, that some would alter their dress for davening depending on whether it was a Shas Shalom or a Shas Tzara. That at a Shas Shalom they would dress up nicely, and at a Shas Tzara, at an Es Tzara, they would be Ke'eved Kamei Mare. And this is probably based on what the Gemara tells us, that when we're Osir Ritzono Shel Makom, we're considered Banim Lamakom, and when we're not Osir Ritzono Shel Makom, we're considered to be Avadim Lamakom. So when are we Banim or are we Avadim? So it's Machlokes Tanaim, but according to one Shita in Tanaim, it really depends on the circumstance, that sometimes we are like Avadim Takarosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes we are like Banim Takarosh Baruch Hu. So how we relate to Hashem should change based on whether we are Banim or whether we are Avadim. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he thinks that's what's behind the practice that many people have, that they only dress up in extra nice clothing for davening on Shabbos, but not during the week. He says, because Shabbos and Yom Tov also, for that matter, are times of Simcha, but the rest of the week, you know, he says, we live in such a depressing society, at least he did, and therefore it's an Eis Tzara, it's a Shas Tzara, and one would dress down. But with all that being said, it doesn't seem that any of that is really relevant, because in our case, these outfits are neither big day kavod, nor do they reflect any sense of avda kamemare. Can you imagine if an eved came in to serve his master or to beg from his master wearing a clown outfit, wearing Mickey Mouse ears, Minnie Mouse ears that light up, or whatever else they may be, you know, wizard hats or anything else that they may be dressed in? So it would seem that it doesn't fit any of the criteria of how one is normally supposed to daven. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tzadi Ches, Sif Dalid, writes very clearly, V'ra'oi she'yu lo malbushim na'im miyuchadim l'tfila. One should have nice clothing designated for davening. Kigon big day kuhuna. It should be similar to big day kuhuna. Just like big day kuhuna, you wear the kohanim at the time of avoda, wear this elevated type of clothing, we too should wear a more refined and nicer kind of clothing for davening. Ella, says Shulchan Aruch, we have to recognize, Shein kol adam yachol levazeh zalzeh. Not everyone could afford such nice clothing. But at least make sure that you look clean and put together and neat and nice for davening. The Mishnah Berurah makes a comment about wearing a hat, and this is an important comment. He writes, "Bizmanenu tzorich lahasim be'isat tefila kova berosho," that one should wear a hat for davening, says the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Kederech shaholich berchov. Because that's the way you walk in the street. And then he says, and don't just wear a small yarmulke, because ein derech lamot kein lefnei anashim chashuvim. Because you would never stand that way in front of anashim chashuvim. Now, as far as a hat is concerned, so it stands to reason that if you would stand in front of anashim chashuvim bizman hazeh without a hat, then there's no reason to wear a hat. But what the Mishnah Berurah is clearly telling us is that one needs to ask themselves when they're about to daven, the clothing that I'm wearing right now, would I change if there were anashim chashuvim that were present? Would I wear these clothing in front of anashim chashuvim? Would I walk in the street with this clothing, or is this clothing, meaning if I'm wearing pajamas, would if I wouldn't walk in the street with these pajamas, then l'chora I should not daven wearing these pajamas. So far, again, as far as the basic rules of dress for davening, there's no doubt that this is not what you would normally consider a appropriate attire for davening. Now, how do we define what is called an Adam Chashuv? Who is an Adam Chashuv? So we normally say, you know, the President of the United States, a governor, you know, and nowadays, you know, everyone is so, everything is so politically charged that depending on who the President is at a given time, half the people will tell you, well, I don't care what the President of the United States, but everyone cares. Of course you do. He's the most powerful person in the world, and of course, if you actually got to meet him, you would, you know, you would show respect. Hopefully, you would show respect, and you would dress nicely, right? So it's still a valid mashal to whatever side of the aisle one falls on, or whoever happens to be the current president at the time that you're, that you're having the conversation. It's still a valid mashal, I believe. So who is an Adam Chashuv? So we always give that as the example of Shtor Bachlo has a tshuva in Tshuvas Hanhagos, where he thinks that it has to be a person who carries themselves with dignity. Meaning, he says, sometimes, he's referring to Israeli politicians, he said, sometimes the culture is so debased that even the leaders of state, the heads of state, sometimes don't carry themselves with dignity, and they don't dress nicely. So if heads of state themselves don't carry themselves with dignity, then they lose the status of Adam Chashuv. Now, in my first Sefer, I quoted that, I don't remember where I heard it, but I quoted that Shamati Me'arav Belsky Zatzal, that I once heard from Rabelsky, that the geder of anashim chashuvim is not eich sha'omdim lefnei melachim besarim, ella eich omdim lefnei gedolei Torah. That anashim chashuvim is how you would dress in front of Gedolei Torah, which is, I guess, an offshoot of what Rav Schirmbach is saying, that it should be based on people who carry themselves with dignity, and Gedolei Torah certainly carry themselves with dignity. Rav Belsky took that to a different place. He said that maybe that's why he thinks maybe you're obligated to wear a hat for davening, because you would, when you go visit Rav Chaim Kanievsky or Rav Eliashiv, you'd wear a hat. So I asked my Talmidim, I said, how many of you went to have visited Rav Chaim Kanievsky's hotel? A number of them had. I said, how many of you wore a hat? Almost none of them had. Meaning it depends where you, Rav Chaim didn't judge you one way or the other if you were wearing, or maybe he did, he certainly didn't say anything. You got the same bua, hat or no hat, you know, so you got the same bracha as far as I know. Beard or no beard, then maybe it changed. But hat or no hat, I think you got the same. So it's not so pashut that you necessarily wear a hat in front of Anashim Chashuvim. But is there any tzad lahakel over here? Meaning, considering that the default position, the starting point is that this is clearly not the way that we stand in front of Anashim Chashuvim. This is clearly not the way one would normally daven. So one point to make is that I would argue that in that context, meaning how we stand in front of Anashim Chashuvim is all dependent on your time and place in history, where you are, where you live, and when you live. Meaning, for example, I just saw pictures from, what do they call it, the G8, G6, whatever, the summit where all these heads of state get together, and they had all the heads of state lined up, and they're all sitting there with like blue suits or something, white shirts, and no ties. No ties. All these heads of state getting together. That might be a game changer in terms of what we would define as dressing up. What we would define as maybe they're dafka looking for a more casual look. But it would depend. Meaning, just like probably the halacha about hats have changed since the times of the Mishnah Berurah, because that's the way people used to dress in the street. You would never go out in the street without a hat. Whether it was JFK's fault, like my Rebbein used to tell me in elementary school, or not, you know, as to why hats fell out of favor. They say that that JFK at his inauguration wanted to look, he wanted to give the impression, as he was, that he was very young and vigorous and whatever. So even though it was freezing cold outside, he dafka didn't wear a hat. And then hats fell by the wayside. So I don't know if that's true or not, but regardless of whether that's true, people don't wear hats in the street anymore. So therefore, you don't have to. So it all depends on time and place. Now, what would happen in Camp Simcha if the governor were to visit Camp Simcha? What would happen in Camp Simcha if a philanthropist, a billionaire, were to visit Camp Simcha? What would happen in Camp Simcha if a Gadol Hador were to visit Camp Simcha? I would bet that all three of those things have happened over the years, meaning it's the kind of place where those things happen, and I would bet that the counselors dress exactly the same way, meaning that is the way they are omeg lufnei anashim chashuvim in that context. So perhaps there's an argument to be made that for that reason alone, it actually meets the criteria. Now, the only other time you have this kind of question, as Rav Shai alluded to in his text, was that is a Purim costumes. If you ever go to a mincha on Purim afternoon, so very often you'll see people in all different kinds of costumes. And the post can discuss that. Is that appropriate or inappropriate? I once had the occasion of being at a graveside levaya on Purim. And I'm looking around at the people gathered around the graveside, and it's like, oh, there's the brother of the Nifter, and there's the sister of the Nifter, and there's thing one and thing two, and you know, like, there are still people in costume at the funeral. So is there such a thing when it comes to Purim davening? Is there any such heter? So there's only one tshuva that I'm aware of on this topic, and that is the tshuva from Rav Vosner, Zechsal Vracha, in Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelek Yud, Simen Yurches, Os Aleph, where Rav Vosner writes that the way it's quoted is, Rav Vosner holds it's no problem to wear your costume to daven on Purim. Let me tell you what he actually writes, and you'll tell me if that's what he's really saying. He says, Asher Sha'al Be'inyan Asher Harbe Noagim B'Techboset Purim Hachlofas Begadim Kigon Litai Im Strimel Ola Hepuch. He says, you know how people dress up on Purim, that sometimes you'll have a Litvak that on Purim, he wears a strimel. Or sometimes you'll have a chassid who's not wearing a strimel. Im mutal is palba zet tfilas mincha umariv. Can you dav mincha umariv if you're a litvak wearing a shtreimel on Purim? As ridiculous as that sounds. Al pi amavur or chaim sim sadial v'shetzarich kederek shom l'tmei anashim chashuvim. That after all, you have to stand the way you would in front of anashim chashuvim. Says Rav Osner, hinei l'da'ati, ein chitzonis hamalbush koveya, elo ofen amdo l'fnei Hashem Yisbarach b'tfila. That exactly what style of clothing you're wearing is not the koveya of kederek shalom l'fnei Hashem chashuvim, it is the way that you carry yourself in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in tefila, al derech hamavur sim tzadiches, di yachshuv kilu shechina kenegdo, that you're able to visualize that the shechina is right there, v'ome l'fnei melech ha'olam, v'od. V'kivin shemespal al pi halacha, and since you're davening al pi halacha, v'mechusa kahalacha, and you're dressed kahalacha, v'ein osa shum schok, and you're not making any jokes, it doesn't matter what clothing you're wearing. So the way that Rav Osner is often quoted is, yeah, you're allowed to wear a costume during davening. But I would just note that he's talking about a case where you're wearing what for some people would be considered begadim chashuvim. He's not talking about that you're dressed up as Harry Potter. He's not talking about that you're dressed up as thing one or thing two or whatever else. You know, he's talking about where it's a litvak wearing a shtreimel, where it's a chassid wearing litvisha garb, wearing a litvisha frock. That's what he's referring to. So that's what he says. So the fact that you're dressed in a way that you normally wouldn't be dressed, but it's fundamentally respectable clothing, that doesn't take away your ability to daven in costumes. That was my reading of Rav Osner, but it could be that I'm reading it wrong and that everybody else is right. And that really he's just saying that it's no problem, that it's only what's in your heart that matters. It's just hard to imagine that that would be the case, because in Shulchan Aruch it's pretty clear that you're supposed to dress nicely for davening. So Rav Shai Shechter told me that he sent the Shaila to Rav Rimon. Rav Rimon is one of the leading Dati Lumi Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, and just an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, and Rav Rimon sent him a tshuva, and Rav Shai told me that he showed the tshuva to his father, to Rav Shechter Shlita, and Rav Shechter said he agrees 100% with everything that says in the tshuva. So what was the tshuva? So Rav Rimon writes a couple of things. He has three considerations to suggest that it should be absolutely permissible for the counselors of Camp Simcha to dress in their costumes while they daven. First of all, he says that although the Shulchan Aruch says that one has to dress nicely, it's defined as the way you would be omid b'fnei hagadolim. So he says that it's very clear, though, that minag hamakom is a critical koveya in terms of what you would wear. So, and it's mashpia on the style of dress that would be acceptable. So it's all talia minag hamakom. So he says nafkamina for a hat and for a jacket and things like that. It all depends on minag hamakom. He says, so for example, the Mishnah Berurah says one is not allowed to daven wearing pajamas. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's all talia minag hamakom. So if you're talking about a zaken or a chola, they're allowed to daven in pajamas because that's what they're wearing at that time. And when people come and visit them, even important people, that's the way they dress. Meaning they don't get extra dressed up. If a person is a chola or a zakein and they're in bed and they're, even when important people come, so then for them it would be permissible to wear pajamas. Says Rav Rimon, or zos nira, shegam b'mikre shalanu, that in our case as well, nadubar al makum shabo regilim leleches b'derek zu. This is a place that people walk around all the time like this. And it's not considered a psichus, it's not considered an indignity. Ela derech simcha avor hayiladim is considered to be just the way that they carry themselves with joy for the children, and therefore there's that alone is enough reason to be makil. Second, he says, it's not just that these are this happens to be the minhag hamakom, that this is the way people carry themselves. He says odish lomar. He says that over here this isn't even. Like Purim, he says this yesh davar mashmuuti that there's yoser Dafka b'tichpas shalachem. He said there's more significance if someone could just, someone's not muted, someone's on an iPhone that's not muted, if you could just mute yourself. So he says there's more significance to this costume than there is in to a Purim costume. Meaning, he says this is a beged of a mitzvah, and when you're dealing with a beged of a mitzvah that's there to be mesameh cholim, adrabah, that's the greatest ratzon Hashem, that a person should be wearing their big day mitzvah in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says it's important to also realize the proper attitude that one should approach tefillah with. There is a significant role that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro plays in tefillah. He says, Yeshno yisod chashuv shal kavana b'tchilas ha-tefillah. There's a very important yisod when it comes to kavana at the beginning of davening. Ha-adam tzarich l'chavein sha'omid b'fnei melech. A person should have kavana that he's standing in front of a king. He says, ulam prat l'kachu, tzarich l'smali ba'avas Yisrael. That one detail of that, though, is that prior to that, one should first think about Avas Yisrael. Mitoch Avas Yisrael, mitoch daga l'kol echad v'yachad, through a sense of Avas Yisrael, through a sense of concern for each and every Jew, nitan l'geshas u'levakish bakoshos gamal atzmenu. That's what allows us to ask for bakashas for ourselves. And he quotes the famous Arizal, who said that one should be mekabel before davening, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Right before davening, one should think, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. In Pri Etz Chaim, it says that before a person davens, Rav Chaim Vital writes, that before a person davens shachris, he should be mekabel the mitzvah, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, and have kavana to love each and every Jew as he loves himself. To ha'avode hilalos b'shlivos b'tfila midargal ledargal of v'chinas umadregas shemai Yisrael va'avode b'pol b'chol yom b'chinas umadregas v'yahavta. He says that with the avoda of tfila is to elevate ourselves to shemai Yisrael and to v'yahavta, that it's all the Jewish people coming together in their avas Hashem, and that the hakdama to that is v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. So why is it so important to have v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha right before tfila? So Rav Rimon says, Nitan la'avin, it's possible, sha'avas abriyos hi t'nai la'avas Hashem. That in order to achieve avas Hashem, we often achieve that through our love of other Jews. Someone who really loves Hashem has to get to a point where he's able to appreciate and love the Tzelem Elokim that's all around him. The other people that are all created, the Tzelem Elokim, we never met Hashem, we never see Hashem, but we do see his Tzelem Elokim. And therefore, if one loves the Tzelem Elokim, one will come to a true Avas Hashem. And he says, very often, our connection to Hashem is derech Knesset Yisrael. The path toward Avas Hashem is through Knesset Yisrael. And it creates a greater sense of connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're Oy Vesabrios. He says that we could be Omid Lufnei Hashem, to be Muchan Be'emes L'chibur Hamrum Mito Yisbarach, to be really prepared to connect with him because we've connected with other Jews. And he says, Mistav the more we are prepared with Midas HaChesed, b'chibur l'klal Yisrael, by connecting to the Jewish people, kach gadla hashras hashchina al klal Yisrael. That brings about in equal measure a greater sense of hashras hashchina to the Jewish people. Kach miskabeles tefilaseinu biyoser. Hashem roe es midas ha'ava v'arachamim shabanu. Hashem sees our love and our rachmanus. Umagalgal mida keneged mida. And it'll bring about mida keneged mida. So what Rav Rimon did over here was that he started by saying, well, is there a heter? Is there a heter to daven this way? Yeah, a heter. This is the way that people dress in this location. This is how you would dress in front of anashim chashuvim in this location. Then he transitioned to say, it may even be appropriate. It's big day mitzvah. And then he went a step further and he said, it may be that this is the greatest way to dress in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, when one considers how tefillah is always supposed to be with a sense of Avas Hashem, of Avas Yisrael, of Yahavta L'Reacha kamocha. And maybe dafka gufa, the fact that we're willing to dress in such a goofy way just to bring joy to people who are ill, to children who are ill, that itself is going to be a great segula for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to our tefillos. That itself is ultimately the greatest tool that we have in our toolbox in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to our tefillos. And I would just add that, you know, to tell counselors at Camp Simcha that they should not daven would be unthinkable. Meaning, if you ever have struggles with kavana in tefillah, or with really connecting to tefillah, a lot of times teenagers, let's say in our communities, because of the great blessings that they have, and that we have adults also, let's be honest, a lot of times the struggles in tefillah come from the fact that there's no sense of desperation, that they don't feel that there's something to daven for. They don't feel that they're missing anything. They feel that they're ready, because we start taking things for granted. One of the better ways to figure out how to daven is by going to visit a place like Camp Simcha and seeing what there is to daven for. And a person sees what there is to daven for, those tefillos are so impactful. So here are people in a context where it's made for tefillah, where there's this constant inspiration for tefillah. It would be unthinkable to tell people not to daven in such a context. So I think in conclusion, it's we knew what the answer was going to be, right? Obviously the answer was going to be that they were going to daven, but I really enjoyed the way Rev Rimon set up that tshuva. Okay, so that's as far as Shaila number 2 goes. Now.